Lord bless you. And he does. All the time. Always will. He'll see you through. Just before I say anything else, these glasses were found under one of the seats yesterday. So if you know anyone that's lost them, they'll be up here. I was just going to ask Brother Chris Circle if he'd like to come and open in prayer for us. You know Chris from way back? I had his father work for me for 10 years at Pultron. But he loves the Lord and always has. Well, bless you, brother.
Lord bless you. Greetings from our pastor, Brother Albert, in Tauranga. He's here. And some of the brethren, so we come down for the meetings. Lord bless you this morning. I've just got a little scripture here that may be a blessing to you. So I'll read it quite quickly. I won't take my time, take too much liberty. Sorry, brother. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and it goes here. And there shall come forth of a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is talking about the Messiah coming. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and shall make of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. The Lord will not judge after the sight of his eyes. And he shall not judge after the sight, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. That's a mighty God. Yes. Amen. He's so beautiful. So loving. And reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips. And then it's over in 10. And in that day there shall be a rod of Jesse. So he's talking about the Messiah as we read at the beginning. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And it shall be, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So the rest of the Lord will be glorious to you. And by one Spirit are you baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. You know, so we are hungering and thirsting for a Spirit to speak to us in our hearts so that we can be encouraged, so we cannot be talked out of this this path, off this path that the Lord is leading us on. So we'll just pray and commit this time to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to worship you and praise you, Lord. And Lord, you're the essence. Lord, you're the one that, Lord, brings the increase, Lord. And we just ask that you would bring the increase this morning to our lives, Lord, and this day and the fellowship that we have, Lord, around your word. Lord, you'd speak to us, Lord. And there's areas in our lives that we maybe are not touched, but Lord, you touch those areas, Lord, that are needed to be touched, Lord, that we may be glorifying you. We will glorify you more, Lord, in our lives, that you may be lifted up. You said you'll draw all men unto yourself, Lord, that we'll be witnesses for you, that they may see the salt, Lord, and be thirsty for you, Lord. Help us to witness for you, Lord, to be a living testimony for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord. Oh God, just lead us, Lord. If you led a prophet in areas, Lord, Lord, for us to walk also, Lord. Oh God, you unveil yourself to us that we may see you and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Oh God, give us understanding, as Lord, open our eyes, Lord, that we may better serve you, more humbler, more meek, Lord. For your glory we pray. Thank you for ministering to each one of us this morning as we come expecting, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, you're moving. We thank you and give you praise and worship as we sing unto you. The living God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one that was written in the Bible, Lord, a great cloud of witnesses. Lord, we thank you for these witnesses, and I thank you, we're your witnesses today, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
We will have an item or two here, even so, because we didn't get through them all necessarily.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad.
Have a good day, and I said every day is a good day. It doesn't depend on the weather or what's around you. It depends on what the Lord has for you. Let's sing this is I'd Rather Have Jesus, number 333. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or I'd rather be him than every riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or the man. I'd rather be led
Whenever I hear that hymn, I'd rather have Jesus. Is that your call? I've sometimes really arrested myself. Is that what I really want? I'd rather have Jesus than anything else in this world. All you got to do is read the paper and find out all the terrible things that are going around, and Satan's run amok. He's got an end mind, but we have a future. Give our thanks to the Lord daily. Praise God. Let's sing number 150, O Happy Day That Fixed My Choice. We make the choice. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice of me, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its branches all abroad. Happy day. Take on me out. Amen, and he did. You may be seated at this time. I'll ask Sister Louise, if you've got that song for us, and just while she's coming. And then after that, we'll have Merle and Shirley. But we have lunch today, as we do every Sunday, and all are invited. And then immediately after that, well, at 1 p.m., we have a service, a short service here. You're also invited to that. And then if you're here on Tuesday, 7 p.m., we have a prayer meeting, which is also as usual. And after that, we might have Brother Pessa. He has an item for us too. If we can make it as quick as we can to get through what we have here.
Our dear Lord, He has commissioned us in these times of need to yield ourselves completely and on Him alone to feed. He has a task He sets before us to be His season word portraying. Oh, we pray we live the meaning of His word. Through the foolishness of preaching, salvation shall be found. May the hearing and the doing of God's holy will abound. Let us turn our hearts toward Him in truth and purity. Let us pray they hear the preaching of His word. It is simplicity, it's the beauty of His word. He's a light in the darkness of a cold and dying world. He's our peace and our joy. He's our heartfelt strength. Reaching down leads us gently in His way. We are vessels for His honor, a tool in His hand. It's our very heart's desire that He use us if He can. Must be willing, must be able, yielded in humility. Let us pray they hear the preaching of His word. Oh, He still has others out there who need to hear His voice. So please send us, Lord, to speak Your word and to offer them the choice. It's Your will that none should perish. Lead us in Your holy ways. Oh, I pray we hear the preaching of Your word. It is simplicity, it's the beauty of His word. He's a light in the darkness of a cold and dying world. He's our peace and our joy. He's our heartfelt strength. Reaching down leads us gently in His way. Down leads us gently in His way.
Sister Mel, Sister Shirley, if you'd like to come at this time. And then after that, we'll have Brother Pessa. You know, it's good that these people have talents and they can sing. But if you can't sing, you play an instrument, and if you can't play an instrument, what does God use in your life to attract others to the gospel? You know, you can just be the one that regularly goes to service. The neighbors see it. They know it. and could be tried and tested by the Lord. What am I doing? They go to church. They're honoring God. Am I doing that? They seem happy. I'm not happy. What can I do about it? We know the answers. They need to know the answer is come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, my sisters. Blessing of the Lord on their singing. Once again, these glasses were found under one of the seats somewhere. If it's yours, it'll be up here. Or if you know who's lost them, tell them. Thank you. Brother Pezza. Brother Pisa. That's what we're here for, to be nearer to God. You know what? That's exactly what God wants, us to be near Him. Shall we stand together, all of us, and sing, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord"?
Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the building where the great prophets He is loosed the flame of life. He knows his terrible soul. He is of 170 camps. They have loaded in an altar and the evening news and then I can feed it right in the very glad. This day is marching on.
Hallelujah!
Glory, glory, hallelujah! Glory, glory, hallelujah!
Makes that. Do you know what really is? Glory, glory, hallelujah. But if it's not in your heart, you can't sing it like that, can you? It comes from down here. So we let it out here to tell all the other people that don't realize how wonderful it really is. We'll sing the chorus once more and then we'll have number 53. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Working towards it daily.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the grave,
was going to ask Brother Taz if he would like to pray for us for any needs that you might have or any people that you know need help. We haven't got the list here, but everybody has problems all the time. Is that right? People you know, family, things like that. So it's just a prayer to the Lord about anything that you have in your heart for ever whomsoever you want to be blessed of God. Brother Taz.
Heavenly Father, almighty God and Saviour, you're an absolute awesome, omnipotent, all-knowing God. You are sovereign over all. You are the only one true God. There is none but you. You are the God over all, the creator of the universe, the God who holds everything together. Lord, by the word of your power, you are absolutely awesome. And that's why, O Father, we can trust, Lord, that whatever comes our way, Lord, it is according to your perfect will, plan, and purpose. There is a divine purpose behind everything that we go through, O Father. And in the end, God, your purpose is that Jesus be magnified, that he be glorified as Lord of lords and King of kings over all. And so, Father, we just come and lift you up. We speak that name that is above every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every affliction. That name that is above every suffering, O God. The name of Jesus Christ, at which every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Every demon, Lord, will be subjected to that power, the power that is in the name of Christ. Lord, we lift that name up. We lift it above every situation in our lives, no matter what it might be. Lord, we follow your instructions, Jesus, that oft times when the hard times come our way, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So, Father, we give you praise, glory, and thanks, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Brother Taz. Who thought about other people at that time while he was praying? I did. Thought about my family. I don't need to know, of course. But sometimes I find that we can get in a groove that isn't really the way we want it. We've got to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us about somebody else that we can assist or that the Lord will assist through you. You know, everybody has talent that God has given you. Everybody. In all cases, God has decided to use you in whatever you can contact. The person that I can contact, you can't. And vice versa. So there's somebody out there that was waiting to hear what you can tell them about Jesus Christ. Let's sing nice and quietly here, number 502, which is All That I Have. Remain seated, and it's kind of like a prayer. Just let's sing that nice and reverently before God. And know the truth of the words. All that I have, all that I am, all I shall ever be, We are truly grateful for what you did for us. We could say, yes, you went and died on the cross and you gave your life, and all the shame and all the pain. But so often we just are not really sincere as we want to be. But Lord, you bring us along so we truly, truly understand what you gave and what you did for us. Not just here in the auditorium, but those around the world that are listening to this service. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows you're right there, wherever it is. Knows what you're thinking. Knows what you wish to do. He's there for them as he is there for us. He is here for us. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for being with us, feeling your presence. Help us, Lord, to reach out and know that the Holy Spirit is right here in the atmosphere right now and with the people overseas. Wherever they may be, God loves them as he loves us. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. We'll sing this once more and Brother Howard will come. Nice and reverent, dear Lord. All that I have, all that I am, all I shall have. Bless you. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise God. Feel the presence of God here. Who feels the presence of God? Not imagination. Just raise your hand if you really feel his presence. I felt Brother Pesser had presence around him when he sang that. Then I thought of all those 1,800 people that sank on the Titanic, went into the Atlantic Ocean. As I was singing that song, the band was playing, "Nearer My God to Thee." One day we're all going to meet the Lord, and we need to know him, really know him. As brother and sister, I guess those people on the Titanic, you've all known the story, had many plans set, what they're going to do, where they're going to go, how their businesses would be. But that day, their soul was required of thee. The Lord said in the parable, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." It's just really good to know the Lord. This late hour, no time for insincerity, plain church, double-mindedness. It's terrible. May God awaken us, as Brother Lee said, on the inside. It's got to come from in here. It's got to be that swelling up of a spirit calling us. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me except my Father draw him." So we pray that he'll speak to our hearts today. Blessed be his name. Ooh. I just pray that God will help us. I wonder if we could just pray. Lord Jesus, it's been already prayed this morning, Lord. you'll come in your presence and your power. We want to see you, Lord. This world's gone without you, but we want you. And we're longing to leave this place, Lord, to a city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking forward to that, Lord. That's what we live for. That's what we long for. Lord, I just pray that you would help this people, and those joining with us, wherever they may be, that you would help us all to come to you, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, be sensitive to God. Lord, I just stand against every distracting spirit, anything that would hold us back from you. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be fixed and you'll make yourself real to everybody. Lord, may you speak to us through your precious word. I commit this word into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. Can we stand for the reading of the word of God from the book of Job? Chapter 38, beginning with verse 1. This was a tremendous experience for Job. He walked into the presence of God, maybe thinking he knew something. But when he got in there, something happened. And I always think about him and I feel sorry for him. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Imagine God saying that to you. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're talking about? We've got to know how big he is, brother and sister. We've got to understand how great he is. God said to him, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened? Or who did lay the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Hallelujah. May God just bless his word to our hearts. You may be seated. We read the last verse when all the sons of God shouted for joy. And I want to speak about this day, why the sons of God shouted for joy. Why did they? I pray that the Lord will quicken it to us. It's a sobering question. God thundered from the whirlwind to Job. I tell you, I would have shook and melted on the ground if he said that to me. Who darkeneth counsel without knowledge? Who comes into my presence, the all-knowing God, without knowledge? We don't know God as we ought. All of us. We really need to get close to God and know what we're talking about. And the only way you'll do that is to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that Job was just dumbfounded when he's in the presence of God and God said that to him. I'm sure he was shaken to his roots, and so would all of us be. If God came into this building right now, visible before you, you wouldn't be in your seats. You'd be on the floor, prostrate before him. Who believes that?
Amen.
Amen. And he said to Job, God telling Job, the sons of God shouted for joy. Were they the only sons of God? Or were they us? Now, I want you to think about this. God gives us eternal life. Eternal life has no beginning and no ending. It's eternal. You've seen the eternal ring? No beginning and no ending. And he said, when, he said, before the foundation of the world, they were shouting for joy. And why were they shouting for joy? And that's what we want to speak about today. Why the sons of God shouted for joy. The sons of God were shouting. Do you know what? That was you and me shouting back there. Now, you don't remember, but God never lies. We were there. One day we will remember. It'll all come clear. This is really wonderful, brother and sister, because it's got to be word-based. It's got to be found on the scriptures. It's got to be authenticated by the word of God. It's not my opinion. I want to just say things, but it's in the word of God very clearly. So I asked you the question, if that was you and I shouting back there, are we still shouting and giving praise to our Lord?
Amen.
If not, why not? Have we lost our voice? Or have we lost the reason to shout? Maybe the devil has hoodwinked you, and I'm sure he has many, into believing that you'll make it into the rapture. The devil hoodwinks people into believing that they can't make it. But a Satan is a master of deception. He's a liar and the father of it. He is an oppressor. He is a tormentor. And he is a deceiver. And Satan has not the ability to tell the truth. The Bible clearly states that. He cannot speak the truth. He's so full of lies. He's a thief. And he is a robber. Stealing the joy of God's salvation from you and I, if he can. Too many sincere person walks a devil's lie of the truth. They actually believe something that's a lie. They really do. Oh, I can't be saved, brother. It's impossible. Satan tells them they're not good enough for God, and therefore they'll never be filled with the Spirit. Sealing them in. But the truth is, none of us are good enough for God. Not one. That's what Jesus died for. It was because we're all sinners. God loves his children to shout aloud his praises. The Bible says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Brother and sister, if we, in the mind of God, were shouting back there, we should be shouting now. We really should be. When you see the revelation, you won't be able to shut you up. You'll be praising the Lord from the bottom of your hearts, not put on from the heart, as Brother Lee's been emphasizing, from our hearts. We want to worship him. Hallelujah. So we should be shouting now, eternal beings. Do you believe you're eternal? Do you have eternal life? Then you are eternal. You can't start and stop. We just think the realms of time, but not God. He's from no beginning and no ending. You say, I can't understand that, neither can I. But he is eternal. So we will be shouting when he takes us back home. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Are we still shouting today? Let us read from about the Old Testament saints. You know, I read this, I thought, wow, this is incredible. It's from 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12, which is, they entered into covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, this was an agreement between Israel and God, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. I wonder how many dead would be here today. Whether small, great, whether man or woman, that they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with hornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. They rejoiced, they agreed. That's what we want to do. For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Now, brothers and sisters, the Jews shouted for joy at the foundation of the first temple. And let me just say this. They weren't just saying, oh, praise the Lord for this temple. No, they didn't do that. We'll read on. At the foundation. So if they were shouting at the foundation of the temple, what are we here today who see and have to be taken at the coming of the Lord? Just read from Ezra. We'll pick it up in Ezra, chapter 3, verse 11. And they sang together by courses in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, and his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. You see, brother and sister, you couldn't do that. It had to come from the heart. But they shouted. They didn't need a microphone. People could hear them afar off, praising the Lord. When did people last hear you shouting? People say, I pray in my heart. Oh, Lord. They shouted with a shout that could be heard a long way away. We shouted under the power of the Holy Ghost. They'd hear it down at the town clock. I believe it. So why did they shout before the foundation of the world? Why did they? There must have been something, as we just read. The Lord said, the sons of God shouted for joy before the foundation of the world. Why were they shouting? This is why they shouted. Listen to me. They saw their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That would make anybody shout and rejoice that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life by God Himself. You won't say, Oh, praise the Lord for helping me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah! You saved me. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. That's what they're shouting about. They knew before they even went to earth. You say, how can you, I can't remember this, nor can I. But one day you will. Before they even came to earth, they knew they were already saved. And their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is so wonderful. Especially when you believe it. Do you believe your name is written? In glory. They knew they were already redeemed. Hallelujah. It takes something very important to make you shout. To make you shout the praises of God. But how could God write their names in the book? Well, how could God write their names in the book of life? The Lamb's Book of Life. Because Jesus had not even died for the sins of the world. He hadn't even come to earth. Good question. So how could God write it in the book, your name, if Jesus hadn't even come and died? Because Jesus had not even... You understand what I'm saying? How could your name be written in the book if he hadn't even come and died for your sins? But as far as God was concerned, it was already finished. Let's read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names, talking about the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In God's eyes, it was a finished work back there. Redemption was already provided before the world began. Aren't you glad of this? You hadn't even come to earth yet. You hadn't even become a sinner yet. You hadn't had time to backslide. Your name was written in the book because God saved you by his divine grace and mercy. And it's nothing to do with human beings. It's by the mercy and grace of God that he saw you from the beginning and put your name in there, signed in his own blood. No wonder the sons of God shouted and screamed, giving thanks to God. What are we afraid about, brothers and sisters? Is your security in your good works? It's your security and because you go to church every Sunday. It's your security because you believe the word of God or something. Brother and sister, when God has chosen you and he's put your name in the book, you are sealed from that day before there was a globe. God said so. I've just read it. And there are others too. You may have never thought about that. But it takes all the striving out of it. I've got to do this. I've got to pray 2 hours a day. Well, you should. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. You're saved by the mercy and grace of Almighty God. We should have joy unspeakable. It's already finished. And Jesus came down and physically fulfilled the mind of God at Calvary. He was the outworking of what God had already purposed. He had to go and die. He had to be the sacrifice. And God knew it, and he knew he was going to believe it. He put your name in there. I believe my name's in the book of life. Yours? Anyone else is there? Yeah, I've heard people say, oh, Brother Howard, they're not in the Lamb's book of life, and these ones over here, oh, they're not in the book of life. I said, excuse me. I said, what? I said, do you have a copy of the Lamb's Book of Life? No. Well, how do you know that the name's not there? It's nonsense. That's God's department, not yours. Amen. So don't judge people. Say, pray for people that God will bless them and save them. Maybe God's depending on your prayers to bring it to pass. When you surrender your life to Christ, you might say, well, I repented of my sins and I became a son of God, say, in 1999. No. In 1999, you found out that you're a child of God. I remember when I was a kid, about 9 or 10, I was out in these hills out here, way back here. And I remember a dear lady, friend of ours, the family, Sister Molly Graham, she passed away after receiving the Holy Ghost, praise God. And she, I was a kid on that hillside, and my friend with me, he was, come on, let's do this, let's do that. And all I could think about was where she was at. She was gone beyond into the presence of God. And it stirred my heart from that day. Sister, brother, sister, you can't even get stirred unless God puts it in there. You can't even get a hunger for God unless God calls you. If He calls you, you can't help thinking about Him. You don't come to church because somebody tells you got to come to church. I'm not in the business of saying to brother, why weren't you at church on Sunday? Sister, why weren't you at church on Sunday? That's God's business. If you have the hunger of God in you, you want to be in fellowship. You want to be in the Spirit of God. You want to worship God. You want to praise God. It's such an eternal thing. You got it a long time ago and it's just coming down the line and now it's in you. And God's coming to collect those that love Him. Praise be to God. So you're already a son of God, but you didn't know about it, nor did I. So it's just so wonderful how God does that. Brother and sister, we should have the same joy we had back there. We had before the world began. You see, if you had eternal life, you never had a beginning. Like the devil Lee, he's got an end. But we don't have an end. I just believe. You want to look at me? You're looking at an eternal being. Now, you mightn't think so, and I mightn't look too much like an eternal being, but I am, because I have eternal life in me. The resurrection is in me. The Holy Ghost is the resurrection power. And brother and sister, what you need above everything is to be filled with the Spirit. If you're not, you'll be missing on that day. Remember the foolish virgin said, oh, we've got no oil in our lamp. The oil, which represents the Holy Spirit, we've got no oil in our lamp. Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. The wise said unto the foolish, we can't give you oil. You've got to go and buy for yourselves. I can't give you salvation. The pastor can't give you salvation. The church can't give you salvation. Nobody can except God. Amen. If you hung for it, He'll give you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the resurrection power. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. He will also reign and change your mortal bodies by the power of that same Spirit or rise you up. You believe that, brother? Well, you're going to be there. Who believes that? If you believe for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to be in you, I can almost feel the change coming. It's going to come, Brother Pesa. You won't have all these trials that you're going through at the moment. The sadness. Isn't that wonderful? It's a quickening power. The Holy Spirit is here. I love Him. Who loves the Lord? You people out there on the internet. This is for you too. That's why they sang for joy. Shouted for joy. There's no, oh, shh, brother. Keep quiet. I remember, I always like the story of Bartimaeus. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Then he went, and the people said to him, shh, Bartimaeus, don't do that. You're in church. Shh. We're talking about the real shout. See, Those guys, they weren't blind. He was. And he cried even louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. He said, "Bartimaeus, come here." You see, brothers, if you've got a hunger for God, he will come to you. If you are fooling around, if you take God lightly, he won't take any notice of you. No put-ons. Be sincere. "I want you, Lord." Exactly how it is. When a man gets in love with a woman, he doesn't want a flirter. He doesn't want a girl that loves him one day and loves somebody else the next. Not of this God. If you want to be his bride, you're going to be sold out to him. Amen. And to his word. For he is the word, we know that. The Bible clearly states that in John. Brothers and sisters, I am looking for a rapture. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm believing for it. I want to be there. If no one else goes, I'm going. Who wants to come with me? You know, I can't guarantee you're going. You've got to press in yourself. You've got to seek God yourself. You've got to have that relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. How we should have that joy that we had back in the beginning. The sons of God shouted for joy. They didn't say, "Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Oh, no. They shouted for joy. The Spirit of God came on Israel. They could hear them afar off. There's weeping and crying and shouting and praising God. Oh, that sort of a meaning, Brother Lee. I don't want any put on. I don't want any, "Oh, let's have a good sing song. We get them all worked up." No, I don't want that. I want the Holy Ghost to come down. Or come from inside of us. Hallelujah. The joy bells could be ringing in their hearts. We are eternal creatures in Christ Jesus. What a glorious privilege to be a part of God from the beginning. If you're with them in the beginning, you're going to be with them in the end. You come from his genes. The seed of God is in you. You're born of God from the beginning. I'm born of my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. I don't even remember him. That's where I came from. And with God, if you're in him, that's where you came from. And you know what? He loves you so much, he's not going to lose you. And he loves you so much, he came down and redeemed you. That's got to be reality. It's got to mean everything to you. You live for God. He gave all his life for you. He laid down his life for you. He gave his all for you. And what are you giving for him? He wants all of you. God's not happy with 95% of you. God wants 100% of you. To be a part of him from the beginning was a great privilege. You know, Jesus himself, Jesus, the Son of God, he knew. He knew where he came from. And he knew where he's going. He said, "I come from God. And I go back to God." Just read this, John 16, 28. "I came forth from the Father. And I come into this world that's like you and I. And there's no difference. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father." Do you believe that for you? Yes. One day, we've said often, we've had people come in a box, in a coffin. And I've said to the people out there, just remember this, people, because we had unbelievers, all sorts. Just remember this, all of us are going to go through the box. You're going to have to go through the box. It's not whether you get in the box, it's whether you get out of it. Amen. And the only way to get out of the box is to have the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. The resurrection power. You say, "I came to church." It's going to take more than coming to church to get you out of the box. If you're a child of God, you're going to come out of there. You're going back. We've got millions of brothers and sisters on the other side waiting for you and I. Come on, brothers and sisters, keep going. It's not long to go. He's coming soon to take you to be with us. So when he comes, and they all come with him, we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe this. This is my life. This is my everything. It's not my new house or my new car or all those things are very nice. That's not my life. My life is to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Brother Lee believes it. Who believes that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Jesus knew where he was going, and where he came from, where he's going. Do you? There's a question. Do you know we came from the Father and we will return to the Father? We have to. It's just a law. It's a law of God. You will return to where you came from. He knew us from the beginning and he chose us and sealed us for eternity. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. He's the Redeemer. He's the one that's going to bring you back. According as He. Who's He? Christ. Hath chosen us in Him. On the day, on the 29th, the 29th of December, no. He, I love this, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he hath chosen me, before the foundation of the world. Here it is again, New Testament. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Without blame. Unreprovable. God cannot even correct you if you're under the blood of Jesus. Because in His eyes you're perfect. What a gospel we have. Hallelujah. So wonderful, so glorious. Chosen us in Him. He saw me way back. He said, you are mine. I bought you. I'm keeping you. I've sealed you. I present you blameless on that day. Don't you love the Lord? That we should be the sons of God. He chose us a long time. Long time ago, God chose you before you had time to sin. Oh, I don't know about that. Yes, you did. God chose you before you had time to sin. This is so wonderful, Emerson. So wonderful. Takes all the sweat out of it. I got to be better. I got to be a better Christian. I got to live up to this. I got to prove myself. You don't have to prove anything. Jesus proved that He was a perfect, sinless Son of God that came and redeemed you with His own shed blood. Now all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe. And if you're a child of God, you will believe it. You won't fuss with it. Before we had time to fail, before we had time to backslide, God put your name in that book. And this is the truth. None of you here, not one single person, none of you people out there on the internet, none of you ever became a sinner. You were born one. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. You were born into sin and were lost. When you came out of your mother onto the table, you were heading for hell then. So you need a Savior. And Jesus knew it. You say, I sinned this and I sinned that. I did this. You don't know what I've done, Brother Howard. You're a sinner before you squeaked. You're born in sin. God wanted to redeem you because you belong to Him. You're His child. Should start the joy bells ringing. God knew it. He knew that we were sinners. He knew that we all needed saving. Listen to what Jesus said. Just amazing in Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. People say, I got power over the devils. He said, don't rejoice about that. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I was back there screaming and shouting. You would have heard me. If you were there, you would have heard me shouting, Brother Tom. We would have been screaming. Who believes this? If it's real to you, you'll believe it. I was shouting, all right. And why aren't you shouting now? We've lost the plot. Help us, Lord. You know, John on Patmos was very concerned because he saw the book of the redemption. Very concerned. He couldn't find anyone worthy to open the book. The book of redemption, because in that book was John's name. And mine was in there too. And that voice came back and said, fear not, for the lion, the tribe of Judah, have come and prevailed to open the book and to loose those seals and all. Now, brother and sister, this is the business of God. It's God's business from start to finish. God's redemption from the beginning. We should be shouting. We should be praising God, saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. There should be such joy in the camp. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, which says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. Oh, watch that tradition. Things you're brought up with, believe this, that's how I've always believed it. No. Can't do that. Come back to the Word of God. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. So they saw Christ. They saw the man, Christ Jesus, walking around in flesh, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist called him. And he was definitely the Lamb of God. But it had already been fixed a long time ago in God's heart and mind. No wonder Job cried, I know my Redeemer liveth. He knew that by revelation. He didn't even see Christ walk on the streets. But he knew his Redeemer liveth. Do you know your Redeemer lives? If he lives, you live also. Because we are in him and we were redeemed by his precious shed blood. So wonderful. I know my Redeemer liveth. How we should shout for joy. Chosen before we even came to earth. One day it'll all come together. And what singing there will be up there. What shouting there'll be up there. In Revelation 5:11, we read this. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. That's a lot of saints. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Isn't that wonderful? Who believes that's wonderful? I'm a part of this family. Do you belong to the family of God or do you belong to the world? You can't say, "I belong to the family of God," and you're serving the world. Sorry. The Bible says that the love of the world, if you have the love of the world in you, the love of God is not in you. You can't have it both ways, brother and sister. You've got to resign. You've got to repent. You know, repent, turn around, go the other way. Make some choices in your life. Not be wishy-washy. "Oh, I believe the Lord," and next on Monday you're serving the devil. You know, a lot of people are religious on Sunday morning. They serve God with all their heart on Sunday morning, and during the week they serve the devil. And people don't even see it, but God sees it. It's the truth. I don't want to be a fraud. We've got enough frauds around at the moment. Brother and sister, I want to be right with God. I want to be a part of that heavenly group that gathers. They sing. They could be heard afar off. We've got a revelation that he died for you and saved you and redeemed you with his precious blood. And you did nothing to earn it. Not a single thing did you do. And not a single thing can you do. He redeemed us from the beginning. Because we're already in him. We're a part of his family. And the Bible says he's not going to lose one of them. Not one. You happy about this, Brother Tatu? You look pretty happy there. Your flag's gone and praising God. You know, that's what it is. You either believe this or you do not. This is not a little sermon. This is not some interesting thoughts. It's fact. The Bible declares it everywhere. I've just read a few verses, but it's all through. You're already a part of him from the beginning. I'm a part of the family of God. Shall we sing that, Sister June? I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Where's Brother Peter? Is he here? I need a pianist. A Bronwyn or somebody? Would you want the organ? Oh, there's Brother Peter. You're hiding behind there, my brother. you're just very cuddled away there. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Now, when we sing this, with what we've just heard, we should have understanding that we are a part of him from the beginning. And we shouted for joy. If we should be able to shout now. If we shouted back there, we can shout now. From our hearts, not just a big bunch of carry-on, but from our hearts. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'll be washed in the fountain. Hallelujah! Yes, my Lord. Joint ears! This is my family. My brothers and my sisters, you are the family of God because you are in Christ from the beginning.
You're in his loins. Gene seeds of God. Oh, so wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad.
I'm a part of the family of God. Are we washed in the fountain? With my love, joined in with Jesus as we travel this song.
When you come to God, you need to repent of your sins. You really do. And ask God to forgive you. And you need to be baptized in his name. And he promised to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People say, well, I don't know whether I can ask forgiveness. If you are a seed of God, if it's in you, you will. You can't do it fast enough. You'll be running for the altar. You literally cling on to the horns of the altar and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Because you are one till he comes in and changes you, makes you new. Don't you love that song? We're going to sing the verse. You may notice we say brother and sister out here. That's why I like to be called Brother Howard. I don't like these stiff names, Howard. I'm a brother. All right, Brother Albert, we're brethren. We belong to God, Sister Bronwyn. We are children of the kingdom. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. Those are so dear to us. Prayer for any matters, we sing this again. Just come forward. You want us to pray for you, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to repent of your sins, you want to be healed, whatever it is, just come. Because I believe he's here. Do you? I know he is. But you've got to believe that. If you believe it, you can receive it. If the Son of God's calling you, you realize that you've been playing around, you've been out of the family circle too long. You've got to get into Christ. And really surrender your all to him. And God will bless you. Let's sing this. If you want to come, just come.
From the orphanage to the house of the
anybody else?
I've been caught in the fountain, made by his love.
Amen and amen. Let's sing number 22. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord.
He is Lord.
I would declare right now, I bet I'm right, that every one of us in this auditorium and many on the internet know right now whether they should do something about it or not. Thinking about it and wondering is a no. Doing something about it is receiving the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful, Lord, for what you've done for us. You gave your life for us. And we are good enough to be saved because you're doing it. We can't save ourselves no matter what. But you did it for us, Lord. We believe it. We know it's true. And you are walking with us. Everywhere we go, you're right there. We're so very grateful for that, Lord. Watch over our families. Watch over the people that we've been talking to. May our own testimony stand out there in the public. We might feel different, but that's because we are different. But a lot of people don't realize that they can also be a part of the family of God. Lord, just be with us as we have our lunch at this time and fellowship. Be with us, Lord. Brother to brother, sister to sister. Uplift one another to be encouraging, to be blessed, and to be a blessing. Lord Jesus, be with us in the afternoon meeting, 1 p.m. Help us, Lord, to continue to be the Christian you want us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name, not forgetting those on the internet. God loves them too, as do we. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Let's sing that, and then you may dismiss at that time. Lunch is served over there. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Yes, I know.
Thank you. bless you.